It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oka nichiwa don umpudu. Ho ho. That was a pretty good job.
Silly Jedi. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Yeah, Han Solo.
Don't get cocky.
It's a Star Wars kind of night.
We're doomed.
I don't think so.
Fighting with a lightsaber is real.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love it. We do share a love for Star Wars, as well as a love for music, too. I actually forgot to tell you this, Colton, but I got a compliment online about great music for last night's show. And so that's more about you than it is about me. But we will be sorry to not have the chance to work with Colton again. So similar to Jay, it's not me. I swear it's not me. He's decided to pursue a different path. As he says, he has to be an adult and preparing to get married early next year. So it's been good to connect with him over the last couple of years and have him on the show. And of course, we wish you all the best. But you still have 2 hours to go, so don't check out yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, where many of you have decided that you will evaluate the fill-in producers on your own. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We are launching you forward into a fantastic, fabulous, somewhat football Friday. So we have a lot more football to come. But I've been telling you this NBA deal, even the WNBA rights deal, they're astronomical numbers. And more, it's a migration to streaming for sports leagues. And so I thought of my friend Matthew Keys, who has thedesk.net, and he's always covering these media deals, media and tech insider, and he's an award-winning journalist as well, and also a late-night owl from Sacramento joining us now. Matthew, we'll start with the NBA because the numbers raise eyebrows, and it appears that there's a bit of a fight that's brewing as well over these deals if TNT and Warner Brothers have their way. So what's your reaction to where we are at this point?
Sure. So this has been in the works for several months now. What happened was the NBA went to different media stakeholders and said, hey, who's got the most money and who really wants these live sports? And you had three suitors come forward: Comcast, which owns NBC and Peacock, Amazon, which has Prime Video, and Disney, which operates ABC and ESPN and has some streaming endeavors as well. They were the ones that wound up getting the deal, which is valued at $76 billion over 11 years. It's just a little under $7 billion a season. By comparison, the NFL deal over 10 years, $100 billion. So we're finally starting to see basketball and football achieve some financial parity. But the issue with TNT Sports is that under the existing contract, the existing broadcast contract, Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the owner of TNT Sports, had a clause in their contract that said they could match and beat an offer made by another company to keep basketball on TNT. And what Warner Brothers has said is they did. They went and tried to match Prime Video's offer, but the NBA rejected it. So it's looking like this is probably going to wind up in court if you kind of read the tea leaves of where things are going. But for all intents and purposes, this is a done deal. Peacock, NBC, and Prime Video will be getting live basketball starting with the 2025-26 season.
Amazon already in the NFL space and the WNBA space, which we'll talk about, now will be in the NBA space if this deal moves forward as currently constituted. What does that mean for Amazon Prime, which to this point has been all about the shopping, maybe some music, some of its own original content, but live sports is something completely different?
It's very complementary to their products. You're right. Prime memberships are one of the bigger parts of their business, and everything is geared toward not only driving more memberships, but keeping people locked in. And if you can get Prime Video with now live sports as part of your Prime membership, you're more than likely going to continue paying that $15 a month, even if you're not taking advantage of the other Amazon services. And look, I don't buy things from Amazon every day or every week or even every month, but I keep the subscription because I like the video content. Interestingly, you can watch some live sports that are on Prime Video through another Amazon product called Twitch, and Twitch streams Thursday Night Football for free. Presumably they will do something similar with NBA rights when they get them. Amazon's biggest moneymaker though is not Prime and it's not the video, it's their cloud computing product. They own Amazon Web Services, which powers a lot of the internet and a lot of the websites and services that your listeners probably use every day. That is a big part of their business. So they're really a tech company, and they're very well positioned to not only offer live sports in the U.S., but part of the NBA deal and the WNBA deal also includes international distribution of live games. So Prime Video is available in other countries. I think they may be available in about 200 countries. And part of the deal with Amazon and the NBA is that they can distribute live games in other countries, and they will start in Europe with the 2025 season. Circling back on the TNT issue, that was one of the reasons why the NBA rejected TNT's bid, is because Warner Brothers simply doesn't have the type of international distribution or reach that Amazon does, and that made the Amazon deal more attractive. And you've had the NBA saying in some of the trade publications that, look, when we said that TNT could come in and match the offer, it wasn't a, it's not like we said they, it was a dollar for dollar match. The fact of the matter is that Amazon just sweetened the deal far and beyond what TNT could come in and do. And that's why Prime Video will start streaming basketball in a little over a year's time.
We've heard the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, talk about younger generation viewers, especially fans don't watch the games on TV. Have you seen that same trend where more and more people are consuming their sports from either websites like YouTube, streaming services, or getting them live as opposed to watching them on TV?
I think so. I think part of the issue is access, right? So I'm in the Sacramento market. The TV rights to that are owned by NBC for one of their regional cable channels, and not everybody has cable. In fact, more and more people are cutting the cord and moving away from cable. So access has become a real issue. So when he says that fewer and fewer people are watching on TV, it's probably more of an access issue than it is an interest issue. And what that means is that the league now has to reach potential and current fans on the platforms where they are. And they see streaming as being one of the biggest ways to do it. However, the NBA is not in a position where they can offer fans direct access to their local teams. Their, you know, TV rights deals are very, very complicated. On top of this national deal, you've got a lot of regional deals that are team dependent. And the fact of the matter is that the NBA is not a tech company, so they don't really have the ability to build out a platform right now and offer games directly to consumers. So it's more lucrative for them to ink these regional sports and national TV deals than it is to just launch their own streaming service. Now, you've got other sports franchises that are kind of dipping their toes in those water. The NFL will let you watch local games through NFL Plus on your phone or your tablet. That hasn't quite made its way to the TV yet. So I think that will change at some point. The friction and the fragmentation of where sports is on television will get a little bit easier. It's not going to happen anytime soon, though. It probably won't happen for, you know, at least another 5 years. And if these TV deals hold, it probably won't happen for much of the next decade.
We're excited to have Matthew Keys back on the show. He is an award-winning journalist who covers the business of both media and technology. And more sports fans are in that same space. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How will it get easier? I heard that, but I'm wondering, how would that happen down the road?
The platforms have to mature enough to the point where a company that is primarily in the business of sports, of delivering live sports events, can now launch their own service. And it's a really complicated technical endeavor that a media or entertainment company is better positioned to deliver. So that's why you had the NFL 3 years ago go and make these deals with TV broadcasters. And they're slowly starting to make deals with streaming services too. There will be two Christmas Day NFL games on Netflix. And I think that's a real sign of things to come. The sports franchises are kind of having their cake and eating it too. But I do think over time, the platforms will evolve to the point where the leagues do offer a direct-to-consumer service where sports fans in their city can watch their live games on any platform they want. They don't need cable. They don't need satellite. They'll have one app, and they'll be able to watch all the games that they want. I don't think that's coming anytime soon, but I do think that's where this is headed. And the leagues really want that to happen, too, because they get 100% of whatever that subscription money is directly to them. They don't have to spread that around to other stakeholders, and they don't have to be dependent on broadcasters to bring that money in either. So that's where things are going. It just won't happen within the next few years. And depending on the sport, it may not happen for, like I said, the next decade.
Netflix is throwing its hat in the ring now, and the NFL is always more than willing to try something new. They're generally on the forefront as a league. But how do you like a marriage between live sports and Netflix?
As a sports fan, I'm not too crazy about the fact that all of these games are going to different services, and I'm sure I'm in good company in that respect. But from a business side, it really does make a lot of sense. Netflix has an ad-supported product now. You can buy Netflix with ads for $8 a month, and that's an attractive price point for a lot of frugal streamers that feel like there are more and more options that they have to subscribe to these days. And they frankly need appointment viewing television to be able to go out and sell their ad inventory, and they don't really have enough inventory to sell. So it was not a hard decision, I'm sure, for the people at Netflix to write the NFL a check for those Christmas Day games. And of course, the NFL, they're more than happy to take anybody's money. So certainly they want reach, but the vast majority of games are still on free TV. And I think that is an indication of how the leagues and how the broadcasters view the issue of reach, which is that they're not at a point right now where you can have pay-per-view sports every week. This is still very much an experiment. Is that where things are going? I don't really know. It's going to depend on how well consumers respond to it. Look, the big test last year was Amazon's Black Friday game, right? The first time that the NFL had ever done a Black Friday game, Amazon spent quite a bit of money to secure the rights to that. And it turns out, I think there were maybe around or just less than 10 million people that watched that game. So is that really successful for a game that was exclusive on streaming? Not when you compare it to, you know, the weekly ratings for a regular football game. But it's still the early days, so we'll have to see how this shakes out.
Flying under the radar, a brand new rights deal for the WNBA, hopping on what's been an explosion of popularity. And so the timing is perfect. How do you like the new deal for women's hoop that also has various outlets where it will appear?
The three media stakeholders that are participating in the NBA deal, Comcast, Amazon, and Disney, are all participating also in the WNBA deal. And that means you're going to see more WNBA games on national television, which I think is an amazing sign for where women's professional sports is going. Try $2.2 billion. So that comes out to about $200 million a year. There's also going to be fewer games comparatively to what the three broadcasters are getting from the NBA. However, the amount of national games are increasing. And when you look at the dollar figure of the number of games that they're getting, it does kind of equal out. This, by the way, will start out around the same time. It's going to start in with the 2026 season. Interestingly, the deals also include international distribution rights. So you'll have Comcast and Amazon distribute WNBA games on an international level. Amazon, with both the NBA and the WNBA deal, have the rights to distribute NBA and WNBA League Pass on a global level. So both franchises are really betting on the NBA and the WNBA not just reaching more of a American audience, but going global. And so when you kind of pull back and you take the dollar amount out of consideration, this is really about reaching fans over the long term, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And I think that's going to be tremendous for both franchises. Now, it would be nice to see that dollar figure go up just a little bit more. I had the same kind of shock that you did when I saw that it was just $2.2 billion, but it is a good start, and you do have to start somewhere. And the WNBA has said these are non-exclusive deals. They are still going to make other partnerships with other media partners. So at the end of the day, the dollar amount could actually go up a little bit more than that.
The recent WNBA All-Star game shattered records for any of the previous All-Star broadcasts. We know about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and what they're bringing to the table. It was actually the most watched WNBA event going back to the very first week that the league launched. What is your reaction to seeing these numbers continue to go up, 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 up based on the star power of one or two individuals?
I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think they're going to continue to increase the momentum behind women's professional sports, not just in basketball, but in other franchises. Part of that is the fact that there is more access to these games. We certainly can't discount the superstar power that athletes like Caitlin Clark bring to professional sports. But I think the fact that the games are easier to access is also drawing more interest. So the national TV deals that we're seeing, and also some of the deals that are bringing these games to free broadcast television. So, for instance, the WNBA games are available on the ION network, which is available on free TV in most parts of the country. And you can even stream it on free television platforms. I think that's going to cause viewership to increase. That's going to cause fandom to increase. That's going to be great for the athletes. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think those numbers are going to continue to go up and up and up and up.
Matthew Keyes is with us from the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So NBC has multiple stations out there they can use, cable as well as over-the-air network, but also every single event on streaming. Is there a way to tell which fans prefer?
Yes. They definitely collect data on how many people are watching their streams, how long they're watching their streams, whether they start in the beginning, whether they go to the end. The amount of data that you're able to pull from streaming television is very, very comprehensive. It's actually why you're seeing more and more television, not just sports, but TV in general, shift over to streaming, because the amount of data that they can get on who's viewing, what they're viewing, how long they're viewing, and even to some degree why they're viewing it, is really, really valuable to these television broadcasters. It helps them inform them what they should be serving more of in terms of television, live sports, entertainment content, and movies, how they should be selling their advertisements. And it serves as a proof of performance for how well their advertisements are doing against the live content and the on-demand content that they're providing through these streaming services. So yes, absolutely. It's very valuable data. And again, it's one of the reasons why they're willing to commit so much money toward live sports and why they're willing to throw so many live events on streaming platforms like Peacock, which is where all of the Olympic events will be streamed, not just from Team USA, but you'll be able to watch all of the events from all of the countries on Peacock. And you better believe they're going to take that data and figure out what they should put on their broadcasting cable channels in 4 years' time when the Olympics are here.
What type of reaction do you get from sports fans who maybe find your website, thedesk.net, or find you on social when it comes to this migration to streaming?
They are very, very tired of having to switch apps. And when you think about how we watched sports on television historically, it started with there being three channels, and that was fine. And then there was cable, and that was fine too, because if a game was on Fox, you turn to channel 5. And if the next week it's on NBC, you turn to channel 4, or the equivalent of whatever the channel is in your area. But now they not only have to juggle cable, satellite, or a cable streaming equivalent, broadcast TV, streaming television, flipping between different apps. It's getting very, very confusing, and they're getting very, very frustrated. And I do think that we're kind of experiencing the adolescence period of streaming TV and sports TV on streaming, where there's going to be some growing pains. There are also going to be some mistakes. Media companies are going to make some mistakes. But I do think that there will be a shakeout period where things get a little bit clearer and things get a little bit easier. And some of the streaming apps and sports apps are actually starting to make it a little bit easier for sports fans to find the games that they want to watch. ESPN is in the process of redoing their app, where they will offer a schedule of all of the games from a franchise that you want to see. You want to find out where the baseball game is going to be, on what station or on what streaming service. You'll be able to go to the ESPN app, type in your favorite team, and it will instantly tell you what streaming service it's on, and it will also connect you to that streaming service. So you don't have to switch out of the app. Mm-hmm. It'll just automatically do it for you. And Major League Baseball is doing something very similar. So the technology is making things a little bit frustrating, but the sports leagues and the entertainment companies are really trying to modify the technology and use it to where it can make things a little less confusing. Again, still early days. There's still going to be a lot of frustration. I'm hearing it from my readers. I do think there'll be a shakeout period where things will get a little bit clearer in that sense, if that makes sense.
Sure. Great stuff from Matthew Keys on Twix at Matthew Keys Live. And then on the website, thedesk.net, he's got lots of links available. It's great to catch up with you again. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Good speaking with you. Have a good rest of your morning.
It is morning now, yes, as we head into our Friday. Such good information for sports fans. Also the Olympics, and realizing that every single event that you could possibly want to watch is on Peacock. Does that, coupled with the NFL games on Peacock and other sports that you can get there, does that make you want to go out and get the app? I did see that Peacock was running some specials where you could sign up and get a year for a relatively cheap price. The deal is, of course, if you don't cancel it after that 1 year, they'll charge you for the next year. And that's a lot of the ways that these streaming services make their money, is people just forget they have them. That's auto sign up, and they forget. And year after year after year, if you don't go in and cancel it out in a particular time frame, well, they get you for the following year. But if you're into the Olympics and you want to be able to watch any of these events coming from Paris, well, maybe it's a good deal. Plus NFL games. All right. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Good stuff with Matthew Keys. If you missed it or want to hear more of it, maybe you only caught part of it, it'll be on our podcast. It's set up in a separate link, and I always do share those on our social the following day. What I want to do next, maybe a little more QB news. It's been kind of fun to hear from some of the quarterbacks, including Justin Fields, who, he was taking first team reps. Didn't Mike Tomlin tell us that he wasn't going to let us in on any of the secrets? He wasn't going to play this game with us every single day. Well, does this put us on a need to know basis? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mom's whole side of the family is from the Youngstown, Ohio area, which is halfway between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And the Cleveland Clinic has been important to my family, different family members over the year. Most recently, a cousin who had to have an emergency surgery, and he is heading back to the Youngstown area on Friday, family members giving him a ride. But I had his whole family, his immediate family, and other cousins were staying in a hotel near the Cleveland Clinic over the course of this week so that he could have this surgery. And they're happy with how it went. They had to remove a cyst on part of his body. And sounds like he's in real good shape, and he was being monitored in ICU. But my thanks on behalf of my family to Cleveland and the expert doctors and nurses and medical professionals at the Cleveland Clinic. So again, it's been instrumental to various family members in some of their health challenges and surgeries that had to be done. But I'm forever grateful that the clinic is close enough to our family to be accessible and one that has such an incredible reputation when it comes to this medical space. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we'll do some QB news after the update, but we're kind of dropping in some of the various head coaches who are starting out in new training camp situations. Remember Jim Harbaugh comparing it to being born and his sound effect that came along with being born. Then you're out and you're born. That's what he said. And then you're out. You're born. I'm going to assume Antonio Pierce, who's in that same division and about to go through his first training camp as a head coach, that his metaphor is not being born. No, instead, he has the opportunity to lead a team, in this case, the Raiders, that he took over midway through the last season. It's his group. He's put his stamp on it. He had the validation and the support of his players, and now he gets to run his own training camp.
Bonding, competition, physicality, creating the Raider identity, and then really putting our stamp on what we want to have our play style look like, both on offense, defense, and special teams.
So excited to see what Antonio Pierce does with the players in his locker room who are definitely bought in. I mean, we saw that in the second half of last season when he took over for Josh McDaniels. What a mess. And you had the guys instantly play harder for him. Now, Davante Adams is a major question with the Raiders. A lot of people out there, talking heads, analysts, think that he could very well be a Jet before this season is done. I think it depends on what the Raiders were able to do out of the gate. Now, the challenge always in that division, I think people have learned their lesson in ever believing that the Chiefs have taken a step backward simply because they don't have a continuity with their receivers, or the defense isn't going to be as good, or blah, 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 blah. Nope. Last year, Chiefs went 11-6, and the last time they lost was to the Raiders on Christmas Day. They didn't lose again after that. Raiders, Broncos, both 8-9, Chargers 5-12, thus leading to the hire of Jim Harbaugh. But the Chiefs were the only team in that division that were above 500, and once again, the Super Bowl champion. So they have a stranglehold on the Western Division. But Antonio Pierce, he'll tell you, he believes that the Raiders have found the key to defending Patrick Mahomes, and that's to be physical with him, to hit him a lot, not to try to hurt him. Of course, there's a fine line there. But if he's right and the Raiders defense can make some noise this year and they can somehow go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, that's huge for Antonio Pierce. And what is his first full year as the head coach, no longer an interim head coach. But yeah, that division, no one's picking anybody but the Chiefs that I've heard publicly, and they've earned that. They've definitely earned it. So we'll see whether or not any of those other teams can get above 500 in 2024. The Chiefs are always up for a challenge, right? They do not care what you say about them, whether you believe that time has passed them by and they don't have the pieces. In fact, the defense was so terrific last year. I think the Chiefs even more formidable now because they have a defense that can match up with the offense and can carry its own load, right? Carry its end of the bargain, or hold up its end of the bargain.
Amy, did you see, I know I mentioned it to you, did you see, you mentioned yesterday about possibly poking the bear of the Kansas City Chiefs. Did you see that the Raiders have a Kermit the Frog dress Patrick Mahomes?
I did see that they had it, and then briefly that disappeared off of social media. It's almost as though they thought, shoot, what the heck are we doing? And they decided to take it down very quickly.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they're doing. It's the same team that they play twice a year.
Right.
What are the Raiders doing here?
Maybe having a little bit of fun.
It was fun.
Here's the cautionary tale. It was a rookie. And yeah, they do like to throw shade at the Chiefs now and then. But the video went viral before they deleted it. Kermit the Frog and a jab at Patrick Mahomes. And it was a fan who dressed up like this Kermit doll. That's actually a little bit disturbing. And then looked like the Chiefs quarterback, I suppose. I mean, he does sound a bit like Kermit the Frog. I'll give him that. And he brought this to Raiders training camp. So he dressed up a Kermit doll, and it was made to look like Mahomes, and he brings it to Raiders training camp. And while the players were going through this, their autograph line that they do before camp, this doll was passed to a rookie safety. His name is Trey Taylor, and he ended up making a video, and he was using the puppet. Raiders fan put it out there on social media, and of course the Chiefs, oh my gosh, of course the Chiefs noticed. In fact, Mahomes' personal trainer, his athletic trainer, quoted it on X with this: "We will remember. We will remember." The fan actually apologized to the Chiefs and also to this Raiders rookie, but it's too late now. The Kermit is out of the bag. There's no way to take that back.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the thought of that was.
We will remember. Idea. Yeah, it was a fan, but a rookie who kind of hopped on it and decided it would be fun. Oh, yeah, it'll be fun until he's picking on you in your first game. This is a rookie safety. Are you kidding? Do you really want to match up with Patrick Mahomes after you've given him extra motivation?
Yeah, that's what I'm laughing at internally. Like, you know Mahomes is going to light him up. Like, you know, oh, where's that guy? When he's like, that's where the ball's going.
Sign me up.
I
can't wait for that. Although he's been actually kind of a good sport about the whole Kermit the Frog stuff, but it's one thing when it's coming from the Raiders. It's a completely different situation. All right, coming up, a little QB news to whet your appetite as we morph into a Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's where I come in, navigating you through the various QB news items. And I dare say there are some Falcons fans who are thrilled to hear that Kirk Cousins has been fully cleared to participate in training camp. And that's not only great because they feel like they're a quarterback away, but because they've got a brand new coach who brings a lot of energy and excitement and a great resume, Raheem Morris. And they also drafted a quarterback in the top 10. What did Morris say? "We're doing it now because we don't ever anticipate being in the top 10 again, or not anytime soon." So yes, full speed ahead for one Kirk Cousins.
"No limitations. I think the precaution of Kirk, I think it was pretty much helpful from how we go about business of not keeping people away from him. And now there'll be people to be around him, and you feel comfortable with that and moving forward and doing some of those things. You know, obviously some of his limitations are coming out individual drill, some of our movement, making sure we don't wear him out to the point that we want to get all the team reps with him. So he's fired up. The team's fired up. The limitations for him, you won't notice either."
"Great to get back out here. Obviously, in my situation, it's just great to be moving around in football cleats again and feeling stronger. Being able to compare it to 6 weeks ago, I feel much more athletic and much less, you know, pain. And so it's just exciting to be back in it and expecting to be able to, you know, practice full go here. And, you know, heaven forbid there would be a setback. You know, outside of that, I feel ready to go."
Kirk Cousins medically cleared to practice in training camp, and you hear how excited he is, and Coach Raheem Morris wanting to be careful they don't wear him out, but also recognizing that it's good for him to get out there and move around too. And he tore that Achilles with the Vikings last year in week 8. Was able to go through some of the drills during spring OTAs and minicamp, but now no restrictions other than what the team determines is cautionary as they head into camp full bore. Speaking of injuries, hopping from the Falcons to another team that's got a brand new QB1, and that's Russell Wilson, but a minor tweak of his calf. And so the Steelers held him out of practice on Thursday, and instead it was Justin Fields who was going through the first team reps.
"I was definitely trying to take advantage of each and every rep that I got today. And, you know, like I said, just looking forward to getting better tomorrow."
And what about Russell Wilson? It's his calf that he's tweaked, not his brain or presumably his jaw. And so what did he do to help Justin Fields?
I mean, Russ is always, you know, any question that I have, I can always go to Russ, ask him for advice. You know, he's going to, you know, give his knowledge to me. Of course, he's been in the league for a long time. So, you know, any advice he has for me, I'm always open and willing to take that. But he was really just, you know, trying to follow along practice. He had the script in his hands and really was just trying to play the practice mentally. So, as we all are as quarterbacks.
So Justin Fields, a much younger version, right? Russell Wilson's 35 years old. And apparently once he told the coaching staff about whatever he did to his calf, Mike Tomlin decided to hold him out. That's life, man. Russ woke up today. His calf was tight. It was my decision to sit him down today, create a little short-term discomfort for him, but not allow a small problem to become a bigger problem. So, yeah, you've got Kirk Cousins brand new in Atlanta. Russell Wilson, though he didn't practice on Thursday, brand new in Pittsburgh. We did see Anthony Richardson for a few games last year with the Colts, but he was shut down relatively early. Now his head coach, Shane Steichen, is letting him run free in training camp.
You know, people ask this too a lot. It's just like, hey, are you going to limit the run game? And I kind of think like, shoot, are you going to limit Steph Curry from, you know, shooting three-pointers?
Oh, well,
that's what Anthony strengths, right? So we're not going to, you know, get away from that. That's what he does well.
Are you going to limit Steph Curry from shooting three-pointers? All right. Curry has a little more of a resume, a little more success, and so maybe that green light is brighter for Steph Curry. But the Colts don't want to limit Anthony Richardson, even though, of course, they want to keep him healthy. That's the deal, is the more that QBs run, the more they are at risk for some type of an injury because of contact. And now in training camp, well, he's wearing a red jersey, so that doesn't matter. But they also don't want to bubble wrap him. He's their franchise QB. They want him to use his skill set, and that includes the running. Though last year he missed 13 games, had that season-ending shoulder injury. Because why? He was out of the pocket early in the year and maybe not ready to be able to protect himself. A lot of young quarterbacks, they're adjusting to speed, they're adjusting to the size of defenders, but they're also adjusting to this idea that you don't look like a weakling, you don't look like a wuss if you slide, so you don't get slammed by one of these big defenders. It's better to throw the ball away or to slide and avoid a major hit and then get up and take the next snap than it is to try to be a hero, get another step or another yard, and end up losing, in this case, most of his rookie season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Baker Mayfield going into year number two with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Todd Bowles has called him a warrior. We know that Todd Bowles loves him some Baker.
Well, Baker has the keys to the bus, and he's driving it, and he's comfortable. We're comfortable with him. We're both in a great place right now. He has to run the offense. We've talked about this as far as just getting the ball out where he needs to get the ball out and understanding the offense and making the correct checks, and I think he's taking it upon his shoulders. He's came back in great shape, and we expect him to do that, but it's a lot more stability there than there was last year.
I'm excited about seeing what the Bucs can do in year two with Baker Mayfield. They brought in a couple of pieces, and this is his team. What did Todd Bowles say? He's got the keys to the bus. Tom Brady, who? Remember when Baker was a Ram for about 10 minutes? Well, Matthew Stafford is back, and he's still the presiding and presumptive elder statesman there with the Rams. He's got his contract tweaked. Not a lot of details released there, but good for Stafford. And now it's just about going day to day and taking advantage of what's right in front of him.
And I don't know if that's the right word. I'm just happy to be where I am. You know, I'm happy to be out here playing football. Love doing it with this group. And just excited about the year to come, to be honest with you. And that's all that matters to me. In this business, I'm play to play. I'm day to day. I'm moment to moment. So I'm just I'm happy to be doing this. And today was a great start for our team, which was really fun to be out there with these guys. Got some guys back that haven't been out on the field for a while. So it's great to see those guys come out and practice. And shoot, we haven't done this in a while. So it's nice to be out here and, you know, throw it around, let these guys do their thing.
I'm glad that Matthew Stafford is healthy, number one. Number two, that he's ready to go. Remember what we saw last year with Puka Nacua, also Kyren Williams, and what a breakout season he had with the Rams. We know they're still Cooper Kupp. They made the playoffs last season. They were a bit of a surprise. But, of course, they do not have their maybe greatest defender in their franchise history anymore either. And so on the offensive side, they may be good. On the defense, there may be some adjusting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Turning our attention back to the AFC just quickly, Josh Allen, he's got a lot of new faces around him as well. Maybe he can have a season like what Matthew Stafford did last year. But looking forward to this challenge.
We got a lot of guys that are very hungry. They're very smart football players. They came in. They had a great offense, or OTA. You know, I talk about guys coming in like Mac, like Curtis, like MVS, even, you know, the rookies that we have, not just Keon, but, you know, Keys and X, too. Like, they are came out ready to play, ready to go. They were in their playbooks. You know, we've had some good meetings. We're meeting as a unit more often than not, making sure that we're communicating and talking well. And I thought our O-line, they're communicating really well. You know, I got to get used to Connor under center a little bit. I had a couple miscues today, which is my fault. But getting some work after practice. But the communication up front is phenomenal right now.
Connor McGovern being the new center that will snap him the ball. That's from One Bills Live, an extensive evaluation of the offense and where it is right now. And Josh seems like he's eager to get back out there and kind of make good again, maybe start all over fresh. I know it's been so disappointing for Bills fans to have this group of guys or have the group of guys they had and not get to a Super Bowl. But then you think about who they brought in. It's a lot of young dudes, guys that Josh can raise to his level of play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.